From the heartland of America and the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, your Akashic Records, all about you. Here's what's happening. Tragic tonight, the gunman who shot and killed four Marines during two attacks at military facilities in Chattanooga, Tennessee, has now been identified as Mohammed Yusuf Abdulaziz. He's 24 years old, was born in Kuwait. It was not immediately clear if he was a U.S. or Kuwaiti citizen. He is reported to be from Hickson, Tennessee, just across the river from Chattanooga. The law enforcement source said preliminary reports indicate that Abdulaziz, who has died, was not on the FBI's radar leading up to these attacks. He was killed by law enforcement officers. He did not commit suicide. The U.S. National Counterterrorism Center said that it has nothing so far connected to any terrorist organization. We shall see. The Federal Aviation Administration has confirmed that it's investigating reports that lasers were aimed at the cockpits of at least 11 commercial flights near New Jersey. The five pilots of five different planes reported the incidents. The number has now more than doubled. Something strange going on there. New data from the U.S. Census Bureau predicts that 1.24 million new immigrants will enter the United States in 2015. Carrying out the Census Bureau's projections to 2050 reveals that the United States could let in some 50 million immigrants over the next 3.5 decades. Frosty Wooldridge, of course, author of America on the Brink. Now, that is legal immigrants that they will let in, I assume, Frosty, is it not?
That's correct. It's the those projections are based on the U.S. Census Bureau and the Pew Research Center, along with the U.S. population projections by Fogel Martin. But let me add to that, not only will the 50 million be added, but they will also be able, figured in those figures is the fact that they will also add, within 35 years, another 35 million of their children. And then, of course, the chain migration will then ensue up to 10 family members. So the U.S. Census Bureau has projected 100 million legal immigrants, their children and families, will become a part of America, and they will land on our shores by 2050. That's exactly 35 years from now.
Frosty, how are we going to sustain all this? I mean, we're barely able to employ people right now in this country.
Well, that's correct. As a matter of fact, Chris Hayes on this, was on NBC tonight interviewing all the water shortages in California. And as you know, just this spring, I bicycled the entire length of California, and there was so little water that they closed down the state camping in national park areas and put porta potties in because they locked up the commodes that you couldn't use any of the toilets. Additionally, you can't even water your lawns, and they wouldn't even serve me water in restaurants unless I asked for it because they can't afford even a glass of water. And so the question you're asking, George, is correct. How can we, as a nation, sustain ourselves and this coming 100 million illegal immigrants and their families, a juggernaut that's literally landing on our country? And as you said, 1.24 million will land on our shores. In other words, 100,000 every 30 days. And as I've said in the past, the third world adds 80 million net gain per year, so there's no end to the line. So what you're going to see for America is that we're going to have severe and irreversible water shortages, energy crises, and certainly resource depletion that's going to drive our country into the same consequences as those people are fleeing from their own countries.
Frosty, we'll talk more. Thank you so much. Frosty's website, part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. The Eurozone ministers are going to bail out Greece for a little bit until a bailout is officially approved. They're going to give them billions of dollars in a bridge loan to kind of prop up their finances for a little bit. A genetically modified moth could help curb a major pest of vegetable crops around the world. The diamondback moth feeds on cabbage, broccoli, and other kinds of fruits and vegetables, causing an estimated $5 billion in damage a year. But male moths with a self-limiting gene produce female offspring that do not survive to reproduce. When released into the wild to mate with wild-type female moths, never heard of a wild female moth before, the genetically modified male moths should, over time, cause populations of the pest to decrease or crash. Calling the Internet a 21st century necessity, President Barack Obama has unveiled a program to bring faster Internet connections to more low-income households, particularly to help students living in public and assisted housing stay ahead in school. More than 90% of the households headed by a college graduate have Internet access, but fewer than half of the low-income households have similar access. Let's check in with Lauren Weinstein, our expert on the Internet. Well, he's not here. He just fell off the page, so we won't go to him. Thank you so much. If you cook chicken, it's time to check your fridge and your freezer. Aspen Foods has issued a massive recall of nearly 2 million pounds of chicken due to possible salmonella contamination, so please be careful. The breaded chicken, stuffed and raw chicken produced between April 15th and July 10th with the best of use dates, here you go, July 14th of 2016 and October 10th of 2016, made by the Aspen Foods Company. Kale is heralded as an ample supply of calcium, magnesium, potassium, vitamin K, and various helpful phytochemicals and antioxidants. But the superfood is hiding a secret. They say it might contain dangerous levels of heavy metals. In a recent study, they say you need to be careful there. A story we had last week, herbal food supplements do not contain what they claim on the label, according to a study. The BBC says, please be careful. 30 ginkgo products were tested. 8 contained little or no ginkgo extract. Make sure you get the proper supplements from a good company indeed. And as I reported some time ago, in the past several weeks, a number of controversial natural health doctors have died under mysterious circumstances. Some of them have even had recent encounters with federal agents. It's a weird story. In a moment, Dr. Joel Wallach joins us, criticalhealthnews.com. We're going to be talking about a lot of these stories and more in 2 hours, plus your calls next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. Every month, of course, we partner up with Dr. Joel Wallach from criticalhealthnews.com to bring you the latest groundbreaking news in alternative medicine and health, and lots going on these days. Dr. Wallach, of course, has done extensive research, peer-reviewed journals, and, you know, I turn to him all the time. As a matter of fact, that's why we partnered up with him, because of our respect for what he does. He's a veterinarian. Don't think he's not a medical doctor. He's a veterinarian who has done more autopsies on animals than almost anybody, and he equated whatever's good for the animal is good for the human. Let's welcome back Dr. Joel Wallach. Joel, looking forward to this. Lots going on.
Okay, it's always great to be with you, George. Appreciate your hospitality and appreciate the fact that you're on the cutting edge of everything. It's really great.
You know, this story, I don't know, have you heard this story in your circles of these natural health doctors who have died? Some others have disappeared over the last several weeks. It's really weird, Joel. I don't know if you've been tracking it or not.
I have, George, and I've come to the conclusion that these are medical doctors, or naturopathic doctors, alternative doctors, who are writing prescriptions for medical marijuana. They're putting a dent in the illegal marijuana trade, and the drug dealers are executing them.
Jeez. I mean, how bad can this – I mean, are you concerned about your own safety?
I don't prescribe marijuana.
No, I know you don't do that, but, I mean, you're an alternative practitioner, and you're one of the mm-hmm. best.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. And, of course, we have to look at the common denominator other than there are alternative practitioners. I want to know how many of them are writing prescriptions for medical marijuana. I've pondered on that for a long time. Why would anybody on earth kill a bunch of hippies and Birkenstocks and, you know, vegetarians and stuff like that? It doesn't make sense unless you look deeper and you say, oh, these are all guys who are writing prescription for medical marijuana, and they're putting a dent in the marijuana, illegal marijuana trade. And so the drug dealers are snuffing them out in, you know, in the head, execution style.
That's scary stuff. And there's nobody out there to protect them, Joel, is there?
Well, they need to get themselves a carry permit and protect themselves.
Yeah, I think so, too. Hey, anyways, there was a study done in Britain that said you got to be careful of the supplements that you take. And they did a study on ginkgo biloba and found that not all of them were what they were supposed to be. So how do you find reputable supplements? For example, I mean, I'm not sure I would buy supplements out of China. So what do you do? What does the average person do? Who do they believe?
Well, we actually have a CD, George, called Quality, 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 because we do something nobody else does in the industry. We test all the raw materials, and we look to see if we're getting what we're paying for. We look to see if there's anything in there that should not be in there. And then we look again when the finished product comes out and all these raw materials are mixed together. We test again for, let's say, one product will have 8,000 auric points, which is a measure of how many free radicals are neutralized by the antioxidants in the product. And we'll have 160,000 auric points in there, and we'll only claim 8,000. So that the expiration date, 3 years down the line, they'll still be well above 8,000, maybe 20,000, 30,000. And so we do things that are a little bit different. No, I shouldn't say it. We do things that are a lot different than anybody else. And as a result, we test for everything. Bad stuff. We make sure that when we're paying for ginkgo biloba, we're going to get ginkgo biloba. When we're going to get natural vitamin A or selenium, or we're getting salt palmetto for prostate problems, we're going to get exactly what we're paying for. And then we don't take a chance in the final completed product. We test for all the ingredients again, and we test for, again, bugs. They're not supposed to be in there, like salmonella in this chicken you mentioned. And also we look for toxins of all kinds. We do these screening stuff. We really look hard. We even have a way to look for aflatoxins in products because it can cause liver cancer. And so we look at that and make sure that we're okay and the people who use our products are okay. And nobody else, I think, in the industry does what we do.
Well, I mean, you have to do that. It's so important, and I'm glad that you folks check and double-check and everything else. What's new with you these days? What are you up to?
I just got back. I spent a week in Japan giving lectures all through Japan. And, you know, I was looking for Fukushima problems with radiation and that kind of thing. But they're very, very good about this, and we don't see a problem there. They post radiation levels and so on. And the thing that I found fascinating, and I put it into my slide presentation because I've been saying this for years, but they had accumulated the data themselves, so it saved me a lot of time. And you know I'm going to be giving, in the first week of August, I'm going to be giving a presentation to the United Nations. I'm very, very proud of that, and this comes at a perfect time. And back in 1970, the cost to the Japanese government for all medical costs to their people, because they pay for 100% cost. You know, kind of like Canada and England and France and so forth. And, of course, that was the goal of the Affordable Health Care Act, was to pay for costs for everybody for make sure they got medical care. And in 1970, the total cost in Japan for medical care of all kinds was 20 trillion yen. Now, I don't know what that translated to back then, but it's a lot of money, 20 trillion yen. In 2011, it was 400 trillion yen.
Wow.
It went from 23 trillion to 400 trillion. And here's the scary part. The total tax revenues from all tax sources in Japan that same year, 2011, was 423 trillion. And so there's only 23 trillion left to operate the government, pay for the Navy, and pay out welfare and all the other stuff that the national government does. And this is what happened with Greece. This is what happened in the Eurozone. This is what's happening in Russia, and this is what's happening here in the States. Everybody who begins to pay the medical care just tells the doctors, look, you can do like this guy did in Detroit. He pretended to be a cancer doctor, and everybody who came to him was diagnosed with cancer, even though 90% of them didn't even have cancer. And he charged outrageous fees. Insurance paid for it, and he made millions and millions of dollars a day by treating people for cancer they didn't have. Well, doctors just can't resist this treatment. Now, how much does that cost us here in the United States? According to an article by the Institute of Medicine, George, which came out in September of 2012, it was in the front page of every newspaper in America, it says annually, each year in America, 30 cents out of every medical dollar billed to your personal insurance companies and the patient themselves, 30 cents out of every dollar is fraudulent billing, and that amounts to each year in America, $750 billion a year, $750 billion, every year is fraudulent billing by the medical doctors, and that's been going on every year for since there's been insurance.
That's huge, Doc. That's huge.
Well, it's bankrupting America, and so this is why I spend so much time, and I just so appreciate you because you allow these stories to get out. Most people are terrified of such things, and basically we've got to take back our health care from the medical system because they have failed us. They've worse than failed us. They are using the American people fraudulently as an ATM machine.
I was talking to two insurance agents today, Doc, about health care, and both of them had been asked to get some individual health care programs for people, and they said, we can't do anything. We can't do anything for you until January when this Obamacare thing somehow, you know, settles down a little bit. There's nothing we can do for you. I mean, I wonder how many people are frustrated about all this, and there is nothing they can do right now.
Well, there is something you can do, George. If you're looking to buy an insurance policy, there's nothing you can do. But who was the doctor in a family of 100 years ago? It was grandma. And so the reason I lecture so much is I'm trying to teach people to take care of themselves. And in my book, Let's Play Doctor, I teach people how to do their own laboratory work. And it shows in the book how they can go to a pharmacy without a prescription, get the same test strips that a doctor will use in his office for a $2,000 physical, get the same test strips for $1.50 a piece, and you need one for blood, you need one for urine test, you need the equivalent of a colonoscopic exam, you get a test strip for $1.50, for goodness sakes. So for $4.50, George, you can give yourself the equivalent physical of $2,000 physical in a doctor's office, and all the data you accumulate, the book Let's Play Doctor tells you how to interpret the data you're going to collect with these test strips, and it's kind of magic because once you realize... We do this in our family every time there's a holiday, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, 4th of July. Every time the family gets together for any reason, we all do our $5 test with the kids, the grandkids, the great-grandkids. It doesn't take long. One or two events, and these little three-year-olds are coming up with a little cup of urine. Here, Grandpa, here's my pee-pee. I want my test. And so this is we need to introduce this, and we'll save ourselves. We keep depending on doctors and the insurance system. Medical doctors will find a way to take every penny out of your insurance and to treat you for 25 years when there's a cure in 3 months.
The Dead Doctors Don't Lie series, I think, took this nation by storm. You've got your own radio program now, and it just seems that the public is beginning to really digest this and wants more and more. When you were last on with me last month, Doc, I got over 1,000 emails over the course of the last couple days after you were on. People were dying, literally, for more information. And, I mean, does that tell you that there's an unhappiness with our medical system today? Or are people just getting smart about taking care of themselves?
It's both, George. Number one, they're certainly frustrated with the medical system. And I liken it to Albert Einstein. He's one of my favorite sayings from him is that insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. Well, we've been using the medical system for over 100 years here in America. We're the most obese nation in the world. We're the number one obese nation in the world. Third world countries have 100-year-old per 250 of their population. We have one per 10,000. Third world countries and cultures have 40 times 100-year-olds we do. And we spend more money each year for healthcare than all the other countries in the world combined. And we're not getting the bang for the buck. And people have been led astray and led to believe that the medical doctors know everything about health and are going out of their way to save us. And I'll give you an example.
Hold on for a second, Doc. Hold on. Yeah, let's get right back to that when we come back, Doc. We're already at the break. Fast half hour already. We've got Dr. Joel Wallach for 2 hours. Next hour, we'll take all your phone calls. CriticalHealthNews.com is the website, CriticalHealthNews.com. There is a toll-free number. People are standing by right now to give you some advice. Not quite like the doc. 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. And welcome back. Dr. Joel Wallach with us as we talk about your health from CriticalHealthNews.com. And, Doc, you were going to talk about a couple of major points here before the break. So let's get back into it in terms of what people can do to better themselves.
Sure. Okay. Well, thank you, George. And, of course, you're exactly right on the Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Michael Jackson's bestseller, Thriller, he sold 72 million. Our Dead Doctors Don't Lie CD, we've sold over 300 million and still going out the door real strong.
Good for you.
And it's in 11 languages, and so it's really, in fact, we're putting it into another 3 or 4 languages, so it's very exciting. People want the information. And there's been thousands of failed medical theories every century since, you know, beyond the pharaohs, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 years ago. And the 20th century and the 21st century, George, are no different. I'll give you the two most terrible of the hundreds of failed medical theories these centuries. I'll give you the two worst ones. Number one is the genetic theory. The genetic theory was, of course, that we're going to be able to find or manufacture through genetic engineering good genes and genetic engineering to make and replace the bad genes that might say when you're 2 years old that, by gosh, you're going to get Parkinson's disease when you're 50, or you're going to get Alzheimer's disease when you're 72. And then when you're 2 years old, you can manufacture a good gene, replace the bad gene, and you won't get those diseases. That was the goal. Well, it turns out none of that was true. Genes are good for eye color and hair color, skin color, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Maximum height. In other words, there's nobody been 50 foot tall. But it turns out there's not a single disease that's caused by genetics. Type 2 diabetes is not genetic. It's a simple deficiency of a single mineral. We've known that for 70 years. Alzheimer's disease has nothing to do with genetics or eating aluminum. Alzheimer's disease is a cholesterol deficiency. And who caused the cholesterol deficiency? Medical doctors, by telling you to get on a cholesterol-restricted diet and don't and do take prescriptions of cholesterol-lowering drugs. Alzheimer's disease is a physician-caused disease. All birth defects are caused by nutritional deficiencies of the embryo. There's not a single birth defect that's caused by genetics. We're talking about cleft palate, belly button hernias, spina bifida, Down syndrome, even transgender behavior is something that happens in the uterus in the first couple of weeks of pregnancy. It's not a choice. These things occur. That's why kids know when they're 2 years old, they're physically a boy, but yet in their brain they think they're a girl because it was a congenital event that happened 3 to 7 weeks of pregnancy. Okay, none of this is genetic and none of it's a choice, but we can prevent all these things by making sure that every mother gets the 90 essential nutrients prior to conception, after she's missed two periods, because then it's too late. Whatever's going to happen to the embryo happens to the embryo.
And without a lot of drinking and smoking to boot, right?
Oh, absolutely. But between the poisons the mother takes in and not enough nutrients, the embryos are at great risk. And so what I recommend, George, as I'm sure you do, when people are getting engaged or getting married, instead of giving them $500 or a set of towels with their initials monogrammed on it, give them the 90 essential nutrients and put them on our ship for 90 days. Say, look, I'll pay for 90 days, but I want you to listen to that CD, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, and you have to know why you need to take this.
That's smart, though.
You know, I'm going to be the grandfather, and I don't want to be babysitting a special needs kid when it's preventable.
Well, I've got to tell you, there is as we all age and get older, and we look at this clock that we've been looking at for years, we look at it with a different eye. When I was 20 years old, Doc, that clock sure looked different to me. But as I got older, man, it was really, really different and important to look at. I think for people who, you know, get past 30, 35, 40, 45, 50 and up, the health is probably the most important thing they can do, more important than their job and anything else. If they love their families, if they don't take care of themselves, they end up screwing up everything, don't they?
You're exactly right. You hit the nail right on the head, and that's why we have to take it away from the medical system, because their interest in us is not a love of neighbor or a love of ChurchMate. They're interested in us is that we're an ATM machine with insurance that they're going to get. Okay, and we just have to come to grips with that. The system has made terrible criminals out of most doctors. It's a terrible thing.
And let's preface this. There are some great doctors out there, you know them. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. There's some wonderful people who are doctors, and many of them know the problem, but they're locked into the system because they have in mortgages and school costs for their kids. They have electric bills. They have all this kind of stuff. They have insurance for the office, and they need $200,000 a month just for bills. And even though they know the system's wrong, they're not going to burn their license on the courthouse steps and say, I'm not going to kill anybody anymore for the money because they're locked into the system. But yet they may be good church-going people and love their kids and pat their dog on the head every day and hug their wife or hug their husband. And they're very nice people, but they're locked into the system, and they're not prepared to give up everything to change. Now, here's the really big one. You've heard of cholesterol being bad, right?
I sure have. They ram it down our throats all the time.
And you've heard of saturated fat being bad.
Yes.
Well, it turned out that the demonization of cholesterol and saturated fat was a sales campaign to sell Crisco by Procter & Gamble and the American Heart Association back in the 1950s. And Crisco started out as a lubricant for German diesel engines for submarines.
I remember you told us that last time. I couldn't believe that. I looked it up. And it's out there. It's there. I mean, it is that gooky stuff that they would put on all of those gears and pipes that moved and kept that submarine going.
Yeah, and it didn't smoke under heat when they were underwater, so that's what they were looking for. And this was a synthetic product that was made by a German scientist by the name of Wilhelm Norman in 1901. And then by the 1950s, there was only 100 submarines, you know, because we'd beaten the Germans twice in world wars. And so what do they do with this? And so Procter & Gamble bought it to make soap, and they couldn't sell it as soap because everybody's making their own soap still at that point. And so they decided to sell it as food, and everybody liked their lard and their cream and their butter, so they had to demonize cholesterol and saturated fat to be able to sell Crisco. Now, here comes the kicker. The real kicker, George, is that they couldn't quite do it. Even though they paid the American Heart Association, Procter & Gamble paid the American Heart Association $1.7 million, which was a lot of money back then,
sure
to endorse Crisco. Nobody knew who the American Heart Association was. They didn't have credibility with the public. And so it really didn't make a dent in the sales. And so they invented the Mediterranean diet to sell Crisco. The Mediterranean diet was a sales campaign. There was never any data to show that the Mediterranean diet made you live longer. In fact, the average lifespan of the Italian is 62. Who wants to live to be only 62? And so the Mediterranean diet was a sales campaign to sell Crisco. There was never any research to show it was any good. The guy who put that together, Ansel Keys, was on the board of Procter & Gamble and the American Heart Association, was a professor of medicine at the University of Minnesota in Minneapolis. And he was actually on the cover of Time magazine. He was credited with saving America by saving their hearts, by getting everybody off of cholesterol and saturated fat. And it was all a sales campaign to sell Crisco. That's how crazy this is.
Is that it's the same as lard, same kind of stuff? Or is that different?
No. Crisco is actually a polyunsaturated thing made from cottonseed oil, bubbled with hydrogen, and also a copper catalyst. So it's made from an unsaturated plant oil, cottonseed oil.
Okay.
Whereas lard is made from, it's a saturated fat from pig fat. And people have been using it for thousands of years. There's, you know, and we knew how to cook with it. And so this is a problem. When you take something, the cultural thing that people have been using for thousands of years, and you want to replace it with something, Ansel Keys determined he had to demonize the basic stuff that lard and butter and cream are made out of and go to margarine. And now they find out, and I said this in 1971 with one of these peer review articles you so kindly mentioned. It was published in an international pathology journal in 1971 in Denmark in 8 languages. And I said that it cannot be cholesterol causing plugged arteries, because the vegans, the ones who don't eat any animal products whatsoever, even butter they don't eat, they have the worst plugged arteries of anybody because they cook everything in extra virgin olive oil, just like Steve Jobs and all this Iwata from the Nintendo company. He just died at age 55. Steve Jobs died at 56 because they cooked everything in olive oil.
When I ran into you at a health expo in Chicago a few years ago, and everybody was having dinner, you ate, but you had a handful of supplements and vitamins and pills. What were they? What were you taking?
Well, all vertebrates, and this was a big study I did with the Center for the Biology of Natural Systems. It was a 10-year study. I did this with Marlon Perkins from the old Mutual Omaha Wild Kingdom show. He picked me as the pathologist on the project, and because I'd given him one of my papers in 1961. It was the first one I published on the mass die-off in America from pollution. And he wanted to study pollution as a cause of death in zoo animals in the big cities and use the zoo animals as a canary in the mine situation. And he said there's bound to be a species of zoo animal that would be very sensitive to pollution. We can use them as a warning. And so he called me back from Africa. I was in Africa working on the white rhino and the African elephant conservation project. He pulled me back to be the pathologist on the thing. And to make a long story short, over a period of 10 years, I had done some 20,000 autopsies, 17,000 and some change of over 454 species of animals and 3,000 humans. I found out two things, George. Number one, every animal and every human being who dies of what we call natural causes dies of not pollution, not from genetics, but from nutritional deficiencies. That was a mind-boggling discovery. And the book that came out of that, 1,200 pages in the Smithsonian Institute of Natural Treasure, very proud of that.
Yeah.
But I think even more important than that, the most important finding was that every vertebrate, whether you're a hummingbird or a crocodile or a human being or an elephant or a dog or a hamster or a snake, requires 90 essential nutrients, 16 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 essential amino acids, 3 essential fatty acids. And I began to take these things twice a day when I was 9 years old. It was a long story. It's in the book, Dead Doctors Don't Lie. But I started taking all those pills and things you saw me taking twice a day since I was 9 years old.
And you have never stopped, have you?
I have never missed. Now, I went to Japan, I just told you, for a week. I have 3 70-pound suitcases. 2 of them are my supplements.
Do you get stopped when you're going through TSA and
stuff? They bring up the dogs. They want to know what all those pills and
capsules. Oh, my God, yeah. That's something else.
I'm very obsessive about this. I don't eat any of the bad stuff. No fried foods, no salad dressings, no cooking oils. I won't eat scrambled eggs in restaurants or hotel
But you eat eggs.
Oh, I eat 10, 12 eggs a day, but I won't eat the scrambled eggs there because they're 60% oil, 20% egg powder, and 20% wheat flour, and so they're not really eggs. They're not safe to eat. Same way with Ensure and Boost. They're actually made from oil primarily as their source of calories and the trans fatty acids. And here's, again, the kicker. I said that in 1971, and everybody laughed at me because, oh, well, it's cholesterol. What are you talking about? Well, it turns out the FDA came out just about 3 weeks ago now, so we got to get trans fatty acids out of people's diets. And they talked about microwave popcorn, coffee creamers, you know, the replacements for real cream for your coffee, things like mayonnaise. I've been yelling about this forever. And they finally came to grips with it that each year, just microwave popcorn and coffee creamers cause 50,000 heart attacks in America alone.
You're kidding me.
Nope. They were the top of the list to get out of your diet.
When you get that microwave popcorn in those little bags, those are bad for you?
Absolutely. They cause inflammation in your arteries, plug your arteries, and cause heart attacks.
Oh, boy. I've had a few of those.
You can air pop your popcorn, melt butter, not margarine or oils. You can melt butter and pour the butter and salt all over your air pop popcorn. But those prepackaged microwave popcorns have this margarine in it. It's already trans fatty acids, and the FDA identified that as your worst source of trans fatty acids that plug arteries and cause cancer.
So they're gonna ban that from those kinds of. Oh, it's already done.
Yeah, it's already done. But they've given them 3 years to find an option.
I see. Okay.
So 50,000 a year—that's 150,000 more people are going to die of heart attacks because they've given them 3 years instead of saying you got 24 hours or your product's off the shelf.
That's amazing. Truly amazing. Gosh. That's one thing I didn't know. I thought I knew everything about medical stuff. I mean, that I didn't know.
Front page news stories over the past.
Well, I know. I knew about the FDA banning the trans fats, but I didn't know it was all in that kind of popcorn and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's the first thing. At the top of the list was microwave popcorn. They actually named the brands. You know, they named the brands of the coffee cream substitutes. And then they started talking about packaged foods like pancake batters and the waffle batter and that kind of stuff. And so you got to watch it. If you make it yourself and you make it with butter and real cream, it's fine.
Now, but you do this without controversy. I mean, I remember I was on a panel, heading the panel, and you were one of the panelists, and there was a medical doctor on the panel, and he went nuts when you were on the panel, Doc. I mean, he went nuts. He tried to jump all over you. You stayed calm and collected, did your thing, did your presentation. But you tick off some people, don't you?
Well, George, that's because I've been doing this, again, since 1971, and because of all these autopsies. I'm seeing something different. I'm seeing type 2 diabetes in crocodiles. Now, how does a crocodile get a genetic disease from humans? And so there had to be another problem. And after 20,000 autopsies and 10 million chemistries, 10 million slides of special stains, the 1,200-page book that's in the Smithsonian Institute, I figured it out. And it's everything the medical system was saying was wrong. Genetics do not cause birth defects. Genetics do not cause diseases. They're all nutritional deficiencies. And cholesterol and saturated fat do not cause cardiovascular disease. It's inflammation, which I actually used that word back then in 71. It's inflammation from eating fried foods and oils and gluten, wheat, barley, rye, oats, things that cause inflammation in your lining of your arteries. You've heard about the inflammation theory of disease. I mean, they've been talking
sure.
about that for the past 10 years.
One of our guests, whom I don't know if you've met him, but you need to because you two would hit it off, Christian Wild. He's a researcher. He's not a doctor. He's a researcher. But he wrote a book called, on hearts and the miracle stem heart repair and everything else. And he specifically said that inflammation is one of the biggest causes of heart disease.
Yeah, coronary artery disease. Congestive heart failure is caused by deficiency of a single vitamin. George, you've known that for 300 years. It was discovered by a Japanese naval surgeon 300 years ago. Congestive heart failure, as quick as I've gotten people off the heart transplant list, their cardiologist took them off the heart transplant list was 5 days, okay? And they've been on the heart transplant list for 3 years. 27 prescription medications.
Tell us.
Their doctor took them off of 27 prescription medications.
Tell us, Doc, that story of a doctor who had some patients and you offered to get them off their medications and you'd take care of them, and you did, and the doctor went crazy. He couldn't believe it.
Yeah, well, that was actually for macular degeneration. He called me a liar during a meeting when I said I could reverse macular degeneration. Come on, Wallach, I'm a medical doctor, I'm an eye doctor, I'm an eye surgeon. And it's a disease of aging. There's no way you can prevent it, nothing you can do about it. So tell you what, let's have a wager. You get me 12 of your patients who've been legally blind, 6, 8, 10 years of macular degeneration, and if I can get half of those 12, if I could get 6 out of the 12 in 90 days, read 20/20, would you apologize? If you could get 2 out of 12, I'll apologize. So he brought the next day, George, true story, in front of 300 people. The next day, he brought a box of 27... medical charts. These 27 people had been legally blind 6, 8, 10 years of macular degeneration. And I said, who's going to pay for all these supplements? He says, oh, he'll pay. And okay, fine. Let's take all 27 then. Any objection? He says, no, because I want you to fail big, so let's go for 27.
Wow.
And so just to make a long story short, I put them on our program for macular degeneration. And in 90 days, all 27 could read 20/20. Remember, these people have all been blind, legally blind, 6, 8, 10 years.
Did this doctor go crazy?
He went crazy, and he made me a CD called Seeing is Believing. I thought he was just going to say, okay, I apologize. But he made me a CD in which he tells about the wager and tells a story and what he did for those 27 patients. And he has become one of our best advocates to this point.
That's a great story. Joel, we're going to take a quick break with Dr. Joel Wallach, criticalhealthnews.com. That's linked up for you at coasttocoastam.com. But always keep this toll-free number. There are people there right now to help you. 1-855-949-RADIO, 1-855-949-7234. I'm looking forward to my 1,000 emails tomorrow. We'll be back.